Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and again, on Activate Yourself, we have a guest for you who was quietly meandering through life, and then her life went whoom and turned left, and she went from being this insane, highfalutin, professional woman who has achieved all these amazing things to then being a calm, put-together yoga person who's still achieving many things. And I quite like the fact that many of us want to do that, even if we haven't done it. So I asked Pauline to come in and speak to us and tell us about her journey, because I love the fact that she's an Asian woman with, well, I mean, a European background, but I love the fact that she's an Asian woman going through this, because there's so much around that, around culture and the way that we function, that I thought it would be interesting for you guys to see what it's like looking at how she ran her life with the immense success that she had. And she's still successful, but in a very non-conventional way, and to understand that journey. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Hi, Pauline. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Gita, for having me.
That was a really funny introduction. Usually I'm kind of like, but I, you know, I actually think today's introduction should just be you talking about you, because that's really what we're trying to do here. So tell me a little bit about your corporate journey, because you started in L'Oreal as a marketing intern.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So I started as a marketing intern. And the funny thing is that now, so many years later, I always people reaching out to me how to get in a company like L'Oreal, the number one leading beauty company. How did you get into that? So actually a funny story is that I was just given that internship through Erasmus, the university I worked for. And I took it with both hands. And for me, that's how I started. And I always thought, when I started at L'Oreal, I always thought, do I actually want to work there? Is this what I actively choose for my career, having done business school? And I always thought, let me just try it out and I will see, because it's beauty products. Of course, as a woman, as a young woman, back in those days, beauty products is important, because you don't know anything else about other sides of beauty, your character, your energy level, your presence. So for me, beauty was very important, because growing up as a Chinese girl in the Western world, every day I was being bullied. Like my eyes that are so small, my nose that is too flat. So I know. So when I was 13, 14, my first beauty products was indeed Maybelline from L'Oreal. So at a young age, I was very much into beauty products, but I never choose to do that. So for me, starting as an intern, I didn't necessarily think this is the company I wanted to work for. But every single year after that, I got promoted. And I think that I truly love learning everything new every day, being able to grow and also feel valued, feel seen by the company. And at the moment that I truly wanted to explore my roots, and I told the company I wanted to work for Hong Kong, they made it happen. And I moved to Hong Kong with L'Oreal. And I think that it's not necessarily the...
Was it Hong Kong because you're Hong Kong Chinese?
Yes, yes. My parents are from Hong Kong, and my parents moved at a young age. My dad moved when he was 18 to the Netherlands. So my sisters and I are all born and raised in Holland. So we are Western with a Chinese background. And I think that is what we, in the end, learned about true beauty, is that holistic part of who we are, authentically Asian, but growing up in the Western world where everything is 180 degrees different. But I think working in L'Oreal, where everything is fast and very, I would say, diverse, I think that is a company I love. So not necessarily beauty, but actually that diversity that I truly loved about the company itself.
Yeah, no, I like that. What I find interesting though is that you had a very, I mean, your growth was a little frightening, right? The way in the business, because I remember our conversation, and you at a very young age were given Vietnam or somewhere to run for L'Oreal. I mean, that's terrifying. How old were you?
I was 30 years old. When they gave me that job, I was actually in Hong Kong, marketing director for two different brands, Shu Mora and Biotherm. And I always just did marketing, which is my passion. My master was in marketing. And I remember my general manager in Hong Kong came to my office and said, Pauline, with an opportunity for you. I know that you love New York City. That's a destination you would love to go to. But we have something more amazing, which is Vietnam and general manager. And when you are that young, and at that time, it was already my eighth position within the company, and I was 29, and to be told that you can have a general manager position, and I thought,
well, how do you turn that down?
So I didn't. I went there and I thought that I would do my parents proud. My mom actually cried. She was saying, why are you doing that? But I really wanted to do that to prove it to myself.
I thought you were going to say she cried because she was proud and she didn't want you to do it.
She did not want me to do it. And I think that is something that I've learned, not just then, but throughout my adult life, is that we think what we want to think because of our upbringing, and because of our own imposter syndrome or I'm not good enough syndrome, that you're taking different things to actually feel better yourself. So I took the role for the wrong reasons, but of course, being there for 3 years, now looking back, it has been the best decision that I've taken to actually go there and just immerse myself in the job itself, but also the country.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, and Vietnam is so beautiful. And I love the whole French influence, plus the way, you know, but it's very Vietnamese, right? You never feel like you're in a Western country at all, because it's just very, very Asian. And then you've got the beach, and then you've got, you know, the towns. You know, I really liked it. Were you the youngest general manager at this time?
Yes, I was. I was the youngest general manager and a woman, an Asian. And I think all of those reasons made me wanted to do the role, also to be an example. I do think that growing up in Holland and being in Hong Kong very often to visit family, I always felt that it's for me a privilege to have had the education in Holland, where we were always being able to be free. And already at a really young age, I knew I wanted to do business school. I wanted to be a businesswoman because I had time to roam around. Like, just take your bicycle and just like cycle and learn who you are. So at a very young age, you already can explore what is it that you like to do. So I always had the dream. And then I would go back to Hong Kong in summer vacation and see my cousins studying every single day, and they're younger and they're just studying in the summer. And I just thought, wow, I am so lucky to live in Holland. And I always thought that being some sort of inspiration is something that that truly makes me feel fulfilled. And I think doing the role in Vietnam, my first year was so tough.
Must have been. And I expanded your remit as well, right? Your responsibility.
Yes, my responsibility, and not knowing who I am as a leader, because you learn marketing, but you know nothing,
of course,
about leading. Oh. Yeah, leading a team, managing your clients, and managing that complexity. So learning everything from scratch and just feeling so lonely. I think those are the moments that I think was the toughest. And thinking that success is your beautiful apartment, like I could have a shower every day in another bathroom, but I just felt so poor inside. And having a 24/7 driver, I just actually felt prisoned. I felt like a prisoner. I felt like I was the victim of the company moving me there. So I never in my first year saw that I was given this amazing opportunity. Instead, I felt like, why did they do that to me? So my first year was really tough.
It felt like a punishment?
I didn't necessarily think as a punishment, but I did feel like, oh, am I given this role because it's cheaper to have me here than an expat with a family? So I always, I was in such a dark place in my first year that everything was negative. But as soon as I had an accident in Vietnam where a motorbike like crushed my left side of my body while I was like doing a Saturday morning run to actually get away of my pain and my sorrow. I was just running with like very loud music blasting, so I wasn't able to think. So I was just like running and trying to work on stronger physiques. And but at that moment when I was laying on that intersection and where just like tears and sweat was just like wetting my face, I think at that moment I just realized like, what am I doing and why did I decide? And I think that aha moment made me realize, but in the end, I wanted it. I could have said no, and then I would have my next role maybe in Shanghai or back to the Netherlands, or London was another destination I wanted to go to. But for me, that was the turning point for me to look inside. Like, I made a decision. Why did I make that decision? And this, as soon as I thought, okay, I'm the one controlling my life, I'm 30 years old, I'm an adult, I made the decision, everything fell into place, and I was grateful to be given the opportunity. And I do think that with me changing my mind, one day I had a lunch break, and my team, my most beautiful team, but they always went outside for the lunch break. It's humid, 35 Celsius, so I didn't want to go outside for lunch. Every lunch break, I was alone. So I would just like wander in the shopping mall. And at the bookstore, they were selling a book from Thich Nhat Hanh, Pieces Every Step. And I was looking at the book that was about Pieces Every Step, Pieces Every Breath. And I picked up the book and I started reading about what mindfulness is, what meditation is. And I think that started my my interest in what does meditation actually mean, and that changed everything for me.
Any of it, you haven't come across your world or life or
never. I was obsessed and addicted to my phone. As soon as I wake up, I would do my emails. Because of time zone, I would read all the emails from Paris. And I never did yoga before, but as soon as I read that book online on YouTube, I found Tara Stiles, and I started my morning routine with a 5-minute, 10-minute yoga routine by Tara Stiles. And that's in the end when I was in New York, where I did my yoga certification through Tara.
So it started then.
So fast forward, my last year of Vietnam, I really thought if I stay longer, and I truly enjoyed my job at the time, I just thought personally I will burn out because I didn't know what it is that makes me happy. So I know who I am as a person, like my values and my work ethics, and at the time truly caring for my team and supporting them, but I didn't know what makes me happy.
Don't answer that question. Let's go for a quick break. We're gonna go for a break, and then when we come back, you're gonna tell me what makes you happy.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So, what makes you happy?
At that time, last year of Vietnam, I did not know how to answer and what to answer. So I was in Cambodia running a charity run. And the only thing that I saw was a work-obsessed woman working 100 hours a week and when I was asking myself, I think I was like almost at the end of the run, I couldn't answer. And I remember after the run, I went to my hotel room and I wrote my resignation letter. But of course, with a lot of responsibility. So I didn't leave 6 months after the day of deciding to leave. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. The only thing that I always had as a dream was coming to New York. So I packed my two suitcases, came to New York, and got a tiny 200 square feet apartment in the East Village.
Oh, it isn't. It's so expensive.
It is so expensive. But Gita, I felt so rich in that tiny flat, woke up, no air conditioning. And my life has just turned upside down. But I remember that I was just sitting there with nothing that I have. I had like two suitcases. I brought my yoga mat with my 2 minute routines that I did. And I thought, why am I not going to be a yoga teacher? Like, I have time right now. I resigned from my company. I'm no longer working.
Ish.
Sorry?
About 33.
At that time, it was, yes, I was almost turning 33.
Yeah.
So I thought, let me just dive into yoga and that's what I will do. So my days were filled with yoga. My days were filled with integrative health. So I signed up for integrative nutrition to be a health coach. And for 18 months, that's all I did. Every day I woke up and my purpose was, let me find stillness. Let me understand what I hear when I'm still, when I'm peaceful, when there is no rush and everything will just fall into place. And during my studies, I also learned that as soon as I pushed my body, I would actually be injured. Like I would feel, and then I had to recover for 2 weeks because I strained a muscle. So I learned to take my time and just to let things unfold. And I remember that was just such a beautiful journey of like every day taking care of myself and resting and learning.
And I think also listening to you, you kind of went from black to white, didn't you? You almost went up to down or whatever. You went from only staying fit in order to be able to work, pushing yourself, do more, have more, be more. But then what it did is it enabled you to make the money to be able to spend the 18 months looking after yourself. So that was a benefit as well, I guess, right?
That was absolutely a benefit. And I do think that everything happens for a reason. If I didn't have that experience, it's true, I would not have the financial means that would give me that 18 months freedom. But I would also not understand what is it that I did wrong. And I think that knowing how I failed, especially in my first year as a leader, it truly made me realize, but then what is important in my life, and not just my life, but also the way I am as a person, as a human being, and what is it that I truly want? So it wasn't far into my 18-month journey that I actually realized that I actually loved my job. I love that corporate setting. Yeah, and I really like the company, and I still say that. Some people are asking me like, oh, are you still working for L'Oreal? You speak with so much passion about the company. And I said, it's been nearly 19 years, like it's my whole adult life. And yes, I still love the company. So very soon I started talking to them again. And after being certified as a health coach and yoga teacher, I went back to L'Oreal and actually worked another almost 9 years for them.
Well, okay, talk about it, because I was looking at this. I was looking at your notes here. And I wanted to ask you, what did success mean? But I don't want to ask you that now anymore, because I want to ask you now what it was like to go back in with this new version of you, because you've spent all this time on yoga, self-reflection, the IIN health coaching, you know, that's... Yeah. Learning. So what version of you were you when you now went back in?
As a true leader. And I think that whatever you want to achieve in life, whether it's performance, happiness, health, physically, mentally, it's by you being the leader.
Yeah.
And at the time when I was a general manager, I was a leader to my people or to the business, but I was still not leading myself.
Yeah.
And by focusing on myself for 18 months, I learned that whenever, whatever you like to achieve, if you're not leading, not just the way you eat, but moreover, the way you think, your mind, you will never be happy and successful. So when I went back the second time round, whenever there were meetings or just setting up my day, or were, and I was in charge of global business development, working with different countries and working with complex situations, it was always about, okay, checking in with myself first, and then also thinking, what is my intention for the meeting? What is my intention for the whole day? And whenever I had a difficult conversation, with mindfulness, you also have that compassion. So it's not about me. When that person is lashing out, it's nothing about what I've said. It's what that other person is going through. So with the new information or knowledge equipped, I was able to practice that every day in real life, which I think right now as a full-time coach is just so helpful, because I was able to truly practice what I learned into the modern day-to-day corporate life.
Did anyone notice the difference?
I was working with other teams, so I don't think they necessarily know the difference, but I do know that my office was never empty. So whenever I was out of a meeting, people would always come in to talk to me, to ask me for advice, whether it's career, or they will share about their personal struggles, or they will ask me advice how to deal with their manager. So even though I was in charge of business development, I knew that I had a bigger calling, and it was something that I always did with a lot of heart and a lot of passion, because I do think that every single leader, in the end, it's majority about people.
Yeah.
Whether you manage them directly or indirectly. And I do think that that sparked me also to transition into human resources after my business role.
Before we go for a break, tell me, you then went into HR.
Yes. After 5.5 years, a business role for Ralph Lauren, I told my manager in Paris, he's in charge of a global luxury division in L'Oreal Lux in L'Oreal. I told him about me being a yoga teacher and a coach, and that I will love human resources. And he made that happen.
Oh my God. I love that. I'm enjoying the concept that you're literally, I mean, if you think about it, if we made everybody who ran HR go off and do yoga and mindfulness, every company would be a much happier bloody place to be in, wouldn't it?
Much better and more profitable. I think the biggest cost that we have as a company is employees that are no longer present. They're physically present. They might not have quit yet, but are they emotionally present? Do they understand the purpose? Are they passionate? Are they emotionally and spiritually there with their job? Or are they just physically in the office or working from home? And that's the biggest cost that we have, is people who are quietly quitting or who have quit, and you're recruiting new employees, and with that, it definitely hit your bottom line. So absolutely, I think mindfulness in the corporate setting is the number one thing. And with mindfulness, Gita, I don't even mean the meditation practice in the morning that reduces our stress, because yes, stress is the cause of all sickness, the inflammation, but it's truly being mindful. So throughout a meeting, our attention span is really short. That's why TED Talks are 18 minutes and longer than 18 minutes. We shouldn't have it for any longer. And I love your podcast of 30 minutes, because if it was 50 minutes, I think the last 20 minutes, people just check off.
And also they don't, but I think it's going to be too long to start.
Exactly. But in a corporate setting, we are in meetings hour after hour. So if we are not practicing mindfulness as a leader, and you're going from one meeting to another meeting, I bet that in the fourth meeting, the leader is just not being patient, exactly, not coaching, and not asking the questions so that the team feel they come with the solutions. You're so impatient, just tell the team what to do.
Okay, so hang on. I'm just looking at your notes here. And what I want to do is I want us to go for a quick break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the happiness project, the happiness hour.
Love that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back, and I want to know about the happiness hour. Tell me about that.
Oh, I love to share about that. I think everywhere where we work, not New York, everywhere, every Friday morning, we tell ourselves, thank God it's Friday. And they celebrate in a way, whether they go to happy hour or they are wanting to have a short day and celebrate the weekend. For me, it's just such a great time to introduce the happiness hour, where we are not going to drink, but where we gather and actually learn about mindfulness, but also how to practice happiness in your life. So in between your full workday and the weekend, there's just this 1.5 hour transition where we can come together and reflect on a beautiful week, but also reflect on all the amazing things that we have in our life, and to practice mindfulness and really understanding how to control the mind, but also how to cultivate your happiness. So it's just this beautiful hour where we are with like-minded people and celebrate.
Every day?
No, this is every Friday. Every Friday. Yes, yes. And the first one that we're going to kick off is the 17th of May in a place, beautiful cafe, Bedford Studio in the West Village. And from then onwards, we will do it at different locations. But the first one will be 17th of May. And it will be great for those who live in New York to come and join me.
I'm very sorry that we aren't able to join you, because it's going to be that version of it, right? I'm jealous. That's made you think of this.
Sorry?
Why did you think of it?
For me, so the science of happiness is something that I studied when I was in my 18 months break. So I did that next to being yoga teacher and health coach. I studied the science of happiness. It was an online course from Berkeley. And it really sparked my interest, because it's one of the things that we actually do to cultivate happiness. Meditation is one, but journaling is part of that. Hiking is part of that. Just being in nature is part of that. Practicing kindness and all these beautiful practices that are scientifically proven to make us happier is just this amazing way that we are working on our habits that can actually cultivate happiness. So while we celebrate our weekend by drinking and having fun, it's a great way as well. But does it have sustainable effects? And being a high performance coach, one thing that I love about the habits is that doing something that is enjoyable. So that's why it's a happiness hour with great people in a beautiful setting. But at the same time, are you working on a habit that can actually have lasting effects? So the moment that you start journaling about gratitude and meditating with that and truly feeling in your heart that gratefulness and who you're grateful for, it has a lasting effect. And it makes you realize that the more that you do that, the more it actually stick with you. So cultivating happiness is something that you can actually learn. So for me, that's just a beautiful way of me giving back to the people in New York that are always hustling. And it's great. Like, it has some sort of purpose because of a portion of wealth that you can get, but true wealth is so much more, which is, you know, your character and your level of feeling of being abundant. And happiness is just such a big part of that feeling.
Oh, I agree completely. How can people find out more about this? Where would they go?
So they can go on Instagram. I think that is the one platform they can find most about me. So yeah, go on Instagram, PaulineLeung_CHPC.
CHPC, what does that stand for?
A certified high performance coach.
Oh, I love that. Okay. And we'll have your details as well, but that's just fantastic. Okay. So before you go, what's the one tip to make us, I know that you're saying the happiness hour is like building a muscle. It's like going to the gym, right? You learn something, then you get more facility at it. You get easier and then you can do it. What's the one thing you think that people could do that would make them feel happier?
One thing that people can do to make them feel happy is, and especially for working professionals, stop multitasking. Because there's so many people who tell me, Pauline, I don't have time to meditate. You don't understand. I have this and this and this. I was like, okay, I do understand. But if you just brush your teeth in the morning and you do nothing else but brushing your teeth, that 2 minutes, and you will be a happier person, because how you do that little thing in that morning by just focusing and practicing, just brushing your teeth and mindfully doing that by cleaning your teeth, you actually, in your mind, you're just like, I'm cleaning my teeth. You look in the mirror, you see yourself brushing your teeth, and throughout the day, that will stick with you. So the moment that you want to go to another tab on your laptop and think, I can do this Excel and the PowerPoint and sending a text message and writing something on my to-do list, or maybe another ping comes in and you're replying a Teams message or an iMessage, your brain is so scattered that your happiness level, because your level of energy is going to go down significantly. And then it takes you such a long time to just recuperate from your scatteredness. So by
focused on one thing and done, and the next and done. Yeah. That's true. That doesn't lend itself to being a parent, but outside of that, I'm a fan. Thank you so much, Pauline. I'm really grateful that you joined us. And I found it really, even when we first spoke, I always find that when people go from so-called external success to an inner concept of success, it's always a very interesting journey. And you had a very traditional path. A meteoric rise, but a very traditional path. And I love the fact that, you know, you developed despite that path. And that was, it's a wonderful story. And I hope it inspires many people. Thank you.
I hope so too. Thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure. This is Activate Yourself. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob, and I want to thank you for joining us, for listening to this. I hope you find it interesting and, you know, soothing and calming, because it's inspirational in its way that so much change can happen. And it happens in a very short period of time, because you only measure it from an inner barometer, not an external one, and that you too can do this in your lives. And I will speak to you again next time.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.